Coming up, we're going to talk about the World Series. We're going to talk about the fall of the Patriots dynasty and the fall of the Cowboys never was a dynasty. Cousin Sal, next. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode of the Bill Simmons Podcast is brought to you by Honey Stinger. This is a show about sports and culture opinions, but right now I want to talk sports facts, the data, the stats. Honey Stinger, sports nutrition, trusted by more than 1,500 pro and college teams. That's right, 1,500. That's all 32 pro football teams. That's 39 pro basketball teams, 29 pro baseball teams, and more that prepare, perform, and recover with the delicious taste of Honey Stinger's energy waffles, chews, gels, and bars. Honey Stinger is the one team's trust. Use code Simmons for 20% off your first order at honeystinger.com. That is S-I-M-M-O-N-S for 20% off your first order at honeystinger.com. We're also brought to you by TheRinger.com and The Ringer Podcast Network, where we have a massive, massive, massive rewatchables coming for you on Monday night. It's on the short list of the ones I've always wanted to do. If I can change, if you can change, everyone can change. That's right. Rocky IV. It's finally happening. Monday night, midnight, Eastern. One of my favorite rewatchables we've ever done. It's completely off the hook. Cousin Sal, Kyle Brandt, and myself. So be ready for that. And by the way, if you love the rewatchables, the entire archive moved to Spotify, but you can still get the last 2+ months on any platform. The entire library of the last 3 years, over 155 podcasts, whatever, that is only available on Spotify. So if you want to listen to The Reheat, if you want to listen to Silence of the Lambs, all the great ones we've done, it's all available on Spotify. And then again, last 60 days, all that's available on all platforms. So you'll still get to hear it. But if you want the old ones, go to Spotify. Coming up, Cousin Sal. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, Cousin Sal is here. It is past 9 o'clock Pacific time. Great TV night tonight. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good times.
The Raiders offensive line did us a favor by getting COVID. We got the better game in Arizona and Seattle.
Thanks to them. Thanks to Cliff Kingsbury for making it exciting multiple times. Thanks to the Dodgers Rays World Series for reigniting baseball.
Lots of fun.
How about that? Wait, have you enjoyed this baseball? How much have you watched?
I have. I'm watching the whole thing. I got both screens. It feels like a World Series. You know, that I think they finally have the crowd noise right. I get that there's a crowd there, but they're also piping in extra noise. I would say, Bill, you're going to argue with me here. I think Game 4 World Series on par excitement-wise with Game 5 NBA Finals. No?
Yeah. Certainly memorable, but I think the Dodgers winning tonight kind of knocked it backwards, right? Like if they had lost that game and then lost tonight, yeah, now they're down 3-2 and then you have the day off. And I think people are like, oh my God, Dodgers curse, all that stuff. But,
A lot of shit. I was like, after game 4 yesterday, you know, I get it. It was an exciting win, but I was like, did the Rays win the World Series? Like people are like, oh, you, oh, go back in your house, old man. I'm like, no, I'm fine with them celebrating. But that guy Phillips running, basically sprinting to center field. It's like, all right, you tied up the series. That's great. But now they're down 3-2.
everything has been celebrated in completely over the top way in the entire baseball playoffs. I kind of enjoy it. Let's go back. We'll start last night and then we'll go tonight. So last night, the Dodgers blow it with the worst guy in the Rays basically comes up because in the overmanaging classic that we're having in the World Series, he pinch runs for his number three hitter a couple innings before with two outs, runner on second. So then, of course, that spot comes back. Russillo pointed out Jimmy Williams used to do this with Mo Vaughn all the time. And I blocked it out of my mind because it was so scarring. Did you have a Mets manager that used to do this?
Valentine is praised, but he used to overmanage like that too.
Oh my God. So that spot comes back up, of course. And it's this guy who's this, you know, American League castoff basically.
Yeah.
Gets this unbelievable two strike hit. Center fielder screws up, cutoff guy screws up, and the catcher blows the tag. You could argue four guys screwed up on one play.
Yeah.
And it seemed like if they lose this series, that's going to be this iconic play. And then all of a sudden they righted the ship today. They were favored. I think they were like minus 160 to win tonight. And they were also like minus 200 to win this series. So Vegas was not daunted by this. So
no, they're not. I think they believe in Kershaw every time he throws. And by the way, he's looking like, you know, with two wins, he's looking like MVP. And he's got to be praying it doesn't go seven. Obviously, you want to close it out anyway in six. But if he has to have an inning or two in seventh game, right now, his credibility, right now, his legacy, he could maybe like shed the monkey off his back and everything. But if it goes seven games and he has to pitch, it's a whole different story. But yeah, you're right. On that one play, Arozarena was like fell down. They had him dead to rights by 30 feet. And it was wildness. That guy Phillips was on the Royals like 40 days ago.
I know. Yeah. You could argue Glasnow is the MVP of the Dodgers.
I guess so.
He's had two starts. He's looked terrified in both starts. Well, I don't think the Rays will go away. I actually think game six will be another good one. It's been fun. So then simultaneously, you have this Kyler versus Russ, NFC West. We'll be seeing this many times over the next decade battle. And it looks like Seattle has it in hand. Arizona's going to kick a field goal to go up to go down seven with like 3 minutes left. Seattle's going to run out the clock. And this bizarre unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, all of a sudden Arizona has new life. They cut it to three. Seattle doesn't close the door. We get the last second field goal. And then it goes to OT. And it was some of the most bizarre coaching we've had all year, right? Maybe number one.
No one deserved to win the game. Well, first of all, you got like Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker, right? And that was like the play of the year. So you think like, okay, Seattle's going to win. We're going to remember that game. Hey, remember that Sunday night game when Metcalf ran faster than Daniel Jones, but they made him like he was slower somehow and they won the game. And that was a huge difference. Almost definitely a 14-point difference in a way you could look at it as a 21-point difference, but I get it. The Cardinals are down 10 points and Kingsbury's not even hustling to the line until like 3.5 minutes left. It's like, you're going to give Wilson the ball back here. They get lucky, like you said, with the unsportsmanlike conduct. They cut it to three. And then I'm not even sure what happened there, but three handoffs to Carlos Hyde. Like, why is on third and two? Why isn't it not run pass option to Russ? If anything, that takes more time off the clock. And if there's nothing, you're punting anyway. As it was, they punted in the end zone, and Murray drove down, and they tied it. It was bizarre. And then,
then you go to OT.
Yeah.
So Seattle's D is dead. Collinsworth's talking about it. They're like, "Oh my God, I've just never seen Seattle this tired.
How can you
never
tell?
Seen it?
How the hell can you tell when their defense is dead? It's so bad. Always
two guys had their heads at our knees. He's never seen it. So it's like, this is great. Murray gets sniffed out at 2nd and 15 because he gets stuffed on a little. And then Kingsbury's like, that's it. We're going to go for a 41 yarder now. Yeah. There's like 2.5 minutes left. Seattle has two timeouts left. It's not a guarantee. It's on the left hash mark. Even if you just did two sneaks where you just killed the clock. So, you know, if somehow you missed it, Seattle would have less time. Mm-hmm. So then, of course, he misses it. It seems like the dumbest thing ever. And then Russ kind of gacks. And I think Russ might have lost his MVP lead tonight, right?
He threw, what, three picks? Like, once you add
two bad
picks,
ones. I mean,
it's kind of what Rodgers did last week, and his odds went way up since then. But yeah, it was very strange. And like everyone had like an off day. I love Collinsworth and Michaels, but, you know, Christian Kirk goes out of bounds at the 38 and to tie it, you know, when they're trying to tie it. And he's like, they're out of field goal range. He should have picked up three more yards. And Al's like, that's right. They're at the 30. Yeah, this makes it a 58-yard field goal. I'm like, what? Why do they have to go back 20 yards? What are you doing? So then they get some yards and they kick on second down. And like, if for no other reason, do it on fourth down, maybe take some time off from, don't let Russ have the ball back if they lose or if they miss the field goal. But then, like you said, Russ throws the interception to the Clemson kid and they're right back in business.
I think you know, you could make a case it's made sports more fun with some of these crazy decisions.
Yeah.
But math has almost, in baseball and in football, has led to some of the strangest things we've seen. We're saying, nope, the math says kick it now.
Right,
second
and
15, knock it in. Great chance. Like, no, actually, this doesn't make sense. The other team's defense can't move. You could run any running back on your team, you're going to get 7 yards.
So crazy. I mean, I was ready to come on here and make a case that Pete Carroll, although it sounds improbable, is the luckiest coach in football, even having lost that crazy Super Bowl to you guys, what he did. I was like, the way they rely on Wilson so much, and they should, but then take it out of his hands when they shouldn't. It's very strange the way they operate. I feel like they could lose like in the first round of the playoffs or early, just because this defense is going to, you're going to be required to be in a slugfest every game.
I hate the who's the MVP conversation as we talk about every year. It's just way too early. Can't do it until week 15. With that said, Russ was the prohibitive favorite.
Yeah.
And we are now heading into, what was that? That was that week 7?
That was week seven,
right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're heading into week 8, and we don't have an MVP favorite, in my opinion. Do you think we have an MVP favorite?
I don't think we do.
Because I do not.
I always thought Rodgers, if we must have the conversation, was undervalued, and then he had a shit game against Tampa, but they brought it back today. I don't know. It's not Lamar Jackson. Patrick Mahomes struggled to throw a touchdown, though his numbers are excellent if you look at it. They're underrated, but... let's just go with our guy, Aaron Donald. Why not?
Aaron Donald. Derrick Henry's, I think, more in the mix now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just week to week how valuable he is. And then I got to say, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
If you're factoring in the fact that when he went there, it made Gronk sign there. Now they get Antonio Brown. Like, he brings other players with him.
That's
true. I think that should be part of an MVP case.
Well,
but
let's
I do. I think it's wide open.
I think you have to wait. If Antonio Brown shoots up the locker room, then maybe Tom takes a hit there. Yeah.
Who knows? He's going to be a model citizen. The reason I brought it up, though, is I'm sure the odds are going to come out tomorrow. I think there's going to be good value on people in that like 5 to 9 range. Like, honestly, Kyler Murray, if you told me like gun to your head, is it impossible that Kyler Murray would win the MVP this year? I'd be like, it's not impossible.
Right.
They could go like 11-5 and he could... throw for 4,000 yards and rush for 900 and have a combined 40. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was wide open.
It was 20-1 in the beginning of the year. And then, he went down a little bit. Yeah. I mean, there's like still 5 or 6. We say we hate talking about it. And here we are talking about it. It's not even halfway through.
Well, to me, it's more like who's the season's alpha dog. I think the MVP is the trophy, but it's like, it's a weird seat. Cause I was doing my power poll. Mm-hmm. It's the first time I hadn't done it, and I was doing it during the games today. And I would say the top 2/3 of the league is pretty good, because even like I have like my 16-20 teams are Cleveland, Carolina, Detroit, the Chargers, and Las Vegas, all of whom can
make the playoffs. Sure.
Make the playoffs and beat any good team on a given day randomly. Right. Like Las Vegas beat a good team this year. The Chargers have been toe to toe with two contenders, and then it just drops. Then you go 21-32, mm-hmm. which I have, Denver is 21 all the way down to the Jets. We can talk about that later, but I do think it's a friskier league. Cause if you say like, who are the favorites? I have KC, Pitt, Tampa, and Baltimore in the top 4.
Mm-hmm.
But the drop off from those 4 to where you go to like 11-14, Indy, Arizona, San Francisco, the Rams, is not that much of a drop off. I don't know whether if COVID has to do with this, the fact that there's been less practice or the league's just more even. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but yeah, you're right. I don't think it was this stacked, this top heavy. Like you wouldn't count on like a 7 seed beating a 1 seed, but it really could happen if Arizona made it. You know, Arizona beat Seattle. They could beat any of those NFC West teams at home. I wouldn't take the Packers out of the top 5 there yet. I think they're still as good as anybody, but AFC is still better. I want to know now that it looks like, and I don't know if you're ready to talk about it, the Patriots aren't going to make the playoffs.
We'll do that after.
I just want to know, like, one of those teams, the Colts, is going to grab that seven seed, right? Well, one of those teams you just mentioned, Chargers, maybe.
Yeah, let's do that now. So the top seven in the AFC, Pitt, KC, Tennessee, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cleveland, Indy. So two kind of just not impressive teams there.
Cleveland almost can't, they almost can't not make it now, right? How many wins they have?
I gotta say, I think there's a case for Miami with Tua. To me, Tua, I wouldn't call them a sleeper because sleeper insinuates that they could actually win the Super Bowl.
Right.
But I do think they're sleepery as a 5-6-7 seed because Fitzpatrick, you know, he had a couple good games, a couple lousy ones. But
yeah,
when you think about the rookie QBs and how good Burrow and Herbert have been, and if mm-hmm. Tua is even close, like 80 to 90% of what those guys have given their teams, I think Miami's got a lot of talent.
Oh, sure. Not a ridiculously tough schedule either. I'm just looking at those 5-2 teams thinking some of them might just go need to have three more wins the rest of the way to make it.
Well, Cleveland, if Odell, we find out, I guess, tomorrow, that looked bad, though.
Yeah. I think people get mad at Cleveland because they're fantasy teams. Like when Baker throws to Higgins and Peoples Jones and this guy Bryant, and they're like, I don't have any of those guys in my fantasy. They get mad. They automatically hate Baker even more.
Baker was great today.
It was excellent. Yeah.
As soon as Odell went out of the game, he was throwing dimes. And he also gave us the first time I've been on the right side of a cover, I think, all season. I had the Browns tied to way too much action today.
That was crazy. The Browns and the Lions ending was probably about a minute and a half apart, and you were either like pulling your hair out or doing laps around the block after that.
I was going to save that, but we should talk about that now. The Browns, I do feel like the Browns won it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, you know, if they had caught that guy dropped the interception.
Right.
Burrow threw right to one of the Browns D-backs, and he just dropped it. And if he catches that, he goes down the sidelines, they win.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, they go back and forth a couple of times. And Baker, Cincinnati, just their defense is awful. They just couldn't stop anything. The Detroit-Atlanta game was a different story because Atlanta, that game's over. If Gurley just falls down, Atlanta wins. And he knew it, but it was like his knees just couldn't stop.
He's done it before where he stopped short, right? And every fantasy owner like wants to strangle
him. But now he has
less
knee ligaments. I think his knees just couldn't pull it off. And as soon as they ruled it a touchdown, didn't you think the same thing? I thought, I was like, oh my God, Detroit's going to win.
That's it. Of course they're coming down.
There's no way Detroit's not winning this now. This is the dumbest thing ever.
It's so weird. There's no other sport like this where an opportunity presents itself where a touchdown, which is the holy grail in football, will hurt your team. Now, here are the guys that, like, you know, you've heard about like rain delays, like, hey, it's starting to rain and we're up 5 runs. So maybe strike out so we get to the make it official game. That's the only thing that's like kind of close. But these guys are running, you know, they're playing for bonuses and everything. And Gurley, I don't know. It's just probably hard. It just goes against your nature to stop at the 1 yard line. And we saw it in Penn State, Indiana, too. It happened twice this week and worked out. And Stafford going all the way down. My God. The Falcons, how do they do it? How do they do it every week?
Well, one guy held back. There was two guys who had a chance to tackle him. One guy was going to tackle him, just pulled up, which was actually smart. The other guy was trying to tackle him, and I think that confused Gurley.
Right, it did.
Gurley's trying to break away from the guy, and he breaks away.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, touchdown. Oh, wait, I can't score. And he falls down.
You break a tackle. You want to keep going, right? You don't want to tumble over to the half yard line. Yeah, that was a hilarious picture of the Lions being like, no, come on, he's in. Come on. What, looking at the refs. It was very weird.
I haven't seen a team like this Falcons team that I can remember in a long time. That's 1-6 that has lost. Now, what is it? Four of the worst losses. All different ways, too. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a Patriots team when I was a kid. We ended up getting number one pick, but like we lost on a Hail Mary. It was like one of those seasons where it was just like every way you could lose, you lost. And that's what this Atlanta team is. Hey, we're going to talk about cross off teams later. I don't know whether we cross them off or just pronounce last rites on the franchise.
Oh yeah.
Between that and the Braves and Luka Doncic, like the Atlanta.
It's so bad because they, Yeah, they you know, I as a Cowboys fan, I think like, oh, my team suffers the worst losses. And today wasn't one of them, thank God. It's just it's brutal. I'd much rather it be today, the way it happened today. But and the Chargers have a shitty kicker. That's been their story. Like, not this year, but in years past. But Atlanta goes all different ways to lose.
Right.
You can't just bet. You can't just blame Matt Ryan. You can't just blame Gurley. You can't just blame the coaching or the defense or a kicker. It's all intertwined. Everyone gets their shot.
Well, we're going to talk about the NFC and the Pats and Cowboys. We'll take a break first. This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever. That's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator also helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals like job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are more likely to convert. And even in some cases, most likely to convert. Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date data fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Start your 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. All right, so NFC top 7 teams: Chicago, Seattle, Green Bay, Tampa, Arizona, Rams, Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the 49ers, Lions, and Panthers. And then you have the Eagles, who have to make the playoffs. One of the NFC's teams.
They do? Oh,
yeah, I guess has to do. Make the playoffs. Yep. Just giving you Cardinals, Rams, Saints, 49ers, Lions, Panthers. I guess only two of those teams can make it. So I'm going to give you the two again. Arizona, Rams, Saints, Niners, Lions, Panthers.
Uh-huh.
I think out of those teams, I think I like Arizona the most. And I think I like the Rams the second most. I think there's a world in which the Saints don't make the playoffs. I continue to be unimpressed by them.
So for that to happen,
Tampa wins a division.
Nobody from the North, nobody from the East, obviously. And you think all the teams from the West.
So you would have to, I think you would have to have Packers, Bears.
Oh, Bears. And then,
you would have to have three NFC West teams.
Right. Oh, yeah, that could happen. Yeah, I wasn't impressed with the Saints. I had money on them. You know, this is why people make fun of us for betting money line parlays, but it became apparent very early that the Saints didn't give a shit about covering 6.5 or 7. They just wanted to win the game, just dump off to Kamara. Somehow they're talking about Michael Thomas could be on the trade block this week. I was like, that's a huge goddamn mistake. Huge mistake. You got to stretch the field. It takes them forever to score, and they're going to have games like they are. Every, like, the home field isn't going to matter, and they're going to have games like they did today against the Panthers, like, can be 27-24 if they're lucky on the lucky end of it.
The Thomas thing was weird. Yeah. It seems like he wants to get traded, and it seems like there's way more bad blood than maybe nobody's written the Adrian Wojnarowski type, here's what's actually going on here story yet, but I feel like somebody will this week. But it seems like it's not good.
Yeah.
If that dude's available, that guy had 149 catches last year.
It's so different when he's in there. You don't have to worry about putting Taysom Hill at quarterback on 3rd and 7. Like, you move the chains more easily. And I don't know, Kamara, God bless him. You talk about MVPs, like, he moves the chains like nobody else's business. But his durability could be called in question at some point.
Well, they remind me, remember last year with the Pats, I was always comparing them to like a soccer team where every, it was like the 11 pass possession to try to get a shot on goal. Right. Everything was so slow. Their time of possession, like, they show the stat. Mm-hmm. And at one point with like 5 minutes left, it was like New Orleans, 35 minutes, Carolina, 20.
Yeah.
And you would just see that and be like, oh, they must be killing them. And it's like, nah, not really. Like, they give up big plays and they get the ball back and it takes them forever to go down the field.
Right.
They're not that explosive. Kamara just repeatedly bails them out at every 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 9, whatever. But
And then you're watching the other way. You're watching Teddy Two Gloves takes them right down the field. Like, oh no, yo, that's because they have DJ Moore. It's like, what the hell's going on here? Like, just getting, they don't even have their best player in a lineup, and they're going first down for first down here.
I do think Arizona's found something the last couple of weeks. I thought against your team, their team speed on defense. Now, granted, you have one of the worst offensive lines in football history.
How dare you? How dare you?
But their teams, their defensive kind of swagger came back a little bit.
Yeah.
In that game, which at least like they're not going to be the 85 Bears, but at least they can get a stop every once in a while and send a blitz from the right side, all that stuff.
Much smaller level, little Ewing theory thing going on with Chandler Jones being out. These other guys stepping up, but you know,
like, fair.
Buda Baker's like, screw this, and Peterson and all these other guys. And we saw Isaiah Simmons today, but yeah. Yeah, they're decent. They're just dumb. Like Kingsbury's like just stupid sometimes, right? Yeah. These coaches, I don't trust any of them.
Kyler's magnificent. And I've had him on both fantasy teams all year. Mm-hmm. He's just like my guy this year. And I just love him. He gets the 30 points every week.
Right.
He pulls three plays a game out of his ass. He has ignited Hopkins.
Oh, yeah. And
Kirk, too, and Fitzgerald. Like I think that team's good. I think that team is a team to watch the next 4 to 5 weeks.
It's not a team that needs to be kicking field goals on second down from 44 yards, right? Just like that's
no.
All those names you just mentioned, and Edmonds is getting reeling off chunks of yardage, running downhill. Metcalf couldn't even catch him if he wanted to, and then they kicked. It drove me nuts.
Brady looked really good today. I got to say, I was hard on him earlier in the year. And granted, you know, Raiders, again, not a team with a great pass rush or anything, but he, first three quarters, that was as good as he's looked all season. Fourth quarter, he faded. He started missing throws.
Mm-hmm.
But he threw some dimes.
That throw to Scotty Miller was about as good as we've seen in years from him, right? 35
yards?
Yeah,
it looked like 3 years ago, Brady. Honestly, he didn't look like that last year. I don't feel like he looked that like that earlier this year. And then, you know, who knows if the Antonio Brown thing is going to work or not, but if you're just putting Antonio Brown in that Scotty Miller spot, Scotty Miller's open like six times a game.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on with Evans this year. Do you have any theories on that? Because he's officially a fantasy murderer.
I don't know, but he's not going to be. I mean, could he get fewer targets when Antonio Brown's in the lineup? Is he just being prepared for the future?
Could it open the field up for him? Maybe. I don't understand it.
I don't know. But the big takeaway is they could be a 40-point team most weeks now going forward. He like finally figured out the offense, I think. It's scary. It's got to make you upset. It just has to.
I do feel a little spiteful about it, yeah. Especially let's talk about our two shitty teams.
Do we have cross-off teams? Are our teams cross-offs after week 7?
No, we can't.
Oh, my baby.
First of all, let's talk about your terrible team first. Has anybody ever felt worse about their team heading into a week 8 when they're half a game out of first place than Cowboys fans? You're half game out of first place. You're awful. You're a top 3 worst team.
I know you want to do top 3, and I think you put us, we were talking about this with House over text. Did you dare to put us third worst? Who the hell's worse than us, than the Cowboys?
I think Jets and Jacksonville are worse. Jacksonville's given up 30 plus points a game for 6 straight weeks. They're the worst defense. Their defense is worse than yours.
I think they can compete for a half. The Jets can compete for a half. Dallas is out of it before you. Plus, who even knows who's quarterback now? DiNucci or Gilbert? I don't know what they're going to do.
Was DiNucci really the guy from All the Right Moves? Wasn't he DiNucci?
I think he was.
The guy who fumbled? Yeah. He went to jail?
DiNucci, the 7th rounder from James Madison. He made it to DiNucci. The movies. Yeah.
Can you trade for Jameis? Why can't you trade for Jameis?
I was looking at that, and everything I read on it is they'd have to give up like a 3rd rounder. It's like, okay, you could win the division potentially.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe, I don't know, with Jameis. Then the other names, you got Deshaun Kaiser Soso is out there.
Kaiser Soso's available?
Kaiser Soso's out there. Shea Patterson, the old Michigan quarterback. Drew Stanton. Drew Anderson. Do I not even remember him? Was that a Carolina guy? Who the hell is Drew Anderson? Panthers?
Don't remember that one. Sounds vaguely Panthers.
He was probably on the Browns. He had to be on the Browns.
Drew Anderson.
But then they say like a guy like Trubisky, like you'd have to give up at least a 2nd rounder for him. I was like, what? You have to give up less for Winston? Like everything I read said the same thing about Trubisky. No, you got to empty the purse.
Sam Darnold?
Oh, yeah. If you're picking off other teams, I'm just thinking if, I don't know. It doesn't really matter because the Cowboys have nine players that shouldn't be in the NFL right now. So the offensive line is terrible. Like you said, the defense gives up way too many points. Even the good players don't tackle anymore. It's really, really sad to watch.
Your linebackers and your offensive line are the worst in the league at those positions.
I agree. We went in 18 months. We went from having the best to having guys who were out of position, undrafted players on the offensive line. But the thing that gets me crazy is Joe Burrow puts up three touchdowns. You know, he finds a way to make his team score three touchdowns, and he gets freaking hammered every single, you know, every other time he drops back. So that's what gets me nuts.
Having like money against that dude.
Yeah.
He's terrifying.
Right.
If he finds these little ways to create 2 feet to the right, 2 feet to the left, a little scramble, daylight, just to buy himself like an extra second, and then just throws a perfect pass to somebody in stride over and over again. Yeah. Or maybe he'll just scramble for 8 yards. That guy's great.
He is.
And I think Herbert is fantastic.
So good.
He's so impressive.
I'm telling you. I'm trying to make that like my second favorite team, like the team I don't have money on. I try not to have any of fantasy players with them. If I'm going against them, I can't help it. But, you know, it's like, all right, if they're losing, they're losing. But it's so fun to watch them scramble on third and three. Their defense plays well. You know, Keenan Allen catch passes. It's a lot of fun.
Do you think Miami regrets not stabbing Fitzpatrick, puncturing his lung with a needle to get 2 and 6 weeks sooner? I think the Chargers really created something here.
Yeah, no, but I think that had to be prearranged, right? The Dolphins, like Tua's coming in after our bye week, no questions asked, right? It's not like he was...
I don't know. I thought Fitz was bad in that Jets game.
In the Jets game?
Because, yeah, even though they won, he was bad in that game.
Oh, back away. Yeah. But I like, if you're 3-3, you got to sit if that's the agreement. If you're, you know, I remember Dak did this with Romo and I was going crazy. I was like, just waiting for the guy to lose and he wouldn't. And eventually they're like, hey, he's like 8-1. Romo's got to sit. It's like, shit, I can't even really argue this.
Can Romo come back, by the way? What's he weighing in these days?
I told him last week was the time. Get down from that booth when he was calling the game. Yeah. We need 3 months.
Your team is really terrible.
They're the worst.
My team, I think, might be secretly terrible.
Yeah.
Watching today, it's like any team that's physical, like that Niners team that can just run the ball and... Mm-hmm. Just put you on your heels. We have no front seven at all. They just completely demolished us. We only have one receiver that can get open, and our quarterback either throws it over his head or bounces it to him. Cam played the worst game by a Patriots quarterback that I can remember since I was in college.
Right.
The Mark Wilson, Tommy Hodson year, whatever year that was. Ooh. We were 1-15. Mark Wilson had a couple games like the one Cam had today that was the year I started gambling.
Right.
Because it was like, I just can't spend the rest of my life rooting for this shit team. I can bet on other teams. I can start rooting for them. He was so bad. And I don't know whether to blame. Is he hurt? Is it the COVID thing? Like, what happened? What happened to this guy from the Seattle game? Where is he?
Well, but I don't want to blame the quarterbacks all that much. I know Cam was bad. And I know Dalton couldn't move. And, you know, the easy fix is to say, oh, Dak gets all the money he wants next year. But I've now seen this for a few weeks. This has to be the first time you have seen your team get bullied on both offensive and defensive line. And when was the last time? It might be the same time, like college, but you're going to see all the stats and trends. Like, this is the first time the Pats have lost 3 in a row since whenever. And it's going to be like, oh my God, that's such a long time ago. But when were you so bullied that you were like, oh man, I have to watch 2.5 more hours of this, right? Like, doesn't that suck? Like, when you don't have a chance like that, that's what I felt like was the weirdest part of this Belichick game.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. It was Bledsoe's last full year. But I think you're giving Cam a free pass. He couldn't have been worse.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for them to tell us what's wrong.
There's something
like,
wrong.
Is his shoulder hurt? Is he having COVID after effects? Like, what the hell was that? Mm. Watching that play-by-play, watching him either sail passes over somebody's head, throw grounders, or just throw it right to the other team, he was absolutely abominable. And they should have pulled him a quarter before they did. But it's just weird because he looked like Superman in that Seattle game, and I would have given him a 5-year deal.
Right.
And 4 years later, I'm like, oh my God, what do we do?
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to do this quick. I swear I'm going to make this 2 minutes. The real problem with this Pats is the drafts. He just has not done well. These are all of our first round picks from 2011 to 2020. N'Keal Harry, Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, Malcolm Brown, Dominic Easley, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, Nate Solder. None of those guys are impact players this year. Hightower would have been the one, but he's not playing this year. Second round picks from 11 to 20. Kyle Duggar, Josh Uche, Juwan Williams, Duke Dawson, Cyrus Jones, Jordan Richards, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jamie Collins, Tavon Wilson, Aaron Dobson, Rasai Dowling, and Shane Vereen. So this is now a decade of them just whiffing on the two most important rounds of the NBA draft, in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And we knew this was happening. He was always patching together and he'd make trades. Plus, they lost a first rounder for Deflategate, and they traded a second rounder for Mohamed Sanu, who is no longer in the league. I was on text threads about this with Hench and J-Bo, a couple of my Pats friends. We'd be like, do you know Mohamed Sanu's not in the league? We traded a second rounder for him 8 months ago, 10 right. months ago.
I don't want to come to Belichick and his draft dog's defense, but number one, your first round picks are basically a second round pick for almost all those years, right? You're so late in the first round. Your second round picks are almost a third round pick. And the other thing is, it just never mattered. It never used to matter until a few years ago, right? Like, he could swing and whiff on these picks, and you could put cornerbacks out there. You could put wide receivers playing cornerbacks, and it all just kind of worked out, right? But now, what's your record? You're 2-1.
But this is my point.
Yeah.
My point is this. And I know they trade back. I know they do a lot of chicanery. I know they find guys in the third, fourth rounds. They don't have impact dudes on the team. Mm-hmm. And when you watch a game like today and you see somebody like Deebo Samuel, who FYI they could have drafted last year, they didn't. Mm. They just don't have impact guys anymore. And they didn't last year either. And this was, you could feel this coming. I think they're 4-8 in their last 12 games, dating back to last year. It feels right. That feels like the right record. I look around, I'm like, all right, secondary is good. Other than that, what are the strengths of this team?
I don't know.
I think it's going to get worse. I don't mean to sound like sky is falling, dude, but I just don't know where the talent is, especially when you're watching some of these other teams. And then you think like Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, these teams that have just reloaded with young talent every year. And they haven't been able to do it. Their 2017 draft, here were the four picks: Derek Rivers, Antonio Garcia, Dietrich Wise Jr., Connor McDermott. They made a couple of trades, but basically those are the four new guys they brought in that year.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the guys that should be like the best players on the team now, you know, from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And just like they whiffed. So
what you would do in that third and fourth round is you'd bring in football players. You know, it wasn't necessarily athletes, but they were freaking hard-nosed football players, and they figured out how to play in his scheme, which was a no-nonsense scheme. But those teams you just mentioned, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City, they light it up at the skill positions, boy. They do it through the draft, and it's not even like, you know, Belichick's going to do it in free agency. He's going to throw you a bone because he doesn't do very well there. It just kind of made sense. But I still don't think, I'm not going to say you're not out of it. You got at Buffalo, at Jets, and then versus Baltimore. Then it's not awful after that. I really don't think.
I know.
You're not going to run the table, but you could be like, 6-8 fighting for a playoff spot.
Well, the one bright spot has been Harris, the running back, who I actually think is good. But they're not going to do anything unless one of the quarterbacks shows up. And Stidham doesn't have it. I don't see it.
Right.
I don't see any glimpses. So it's not going to be him. Cam, I don't know what happened. Hopefully he can turn it around. But man,
You got to beat the Jets. You got one more against the Jets. You got one or two more against the Jets. And you have one more against the Dolphins.
Listen, everything ends badly. This is how sports works. I was texting with the J-Bug today and I was like, we had the most unbelievable 20 years ever. Like this, it had to end this way with us just getting annihilated by the Niners.
This is too much clear thinking. I don't like that. I like when you're upset more, but I appreciate it.
Well, I was trying to think like, if you're the Pats, you don't have enough talent. Are you buyers or sellers right now?
For this week?
Because your line, no, just in general, like with the trade deadline coming up, your linebackers are so slow. You're not going to beat any sort of power team. You have no chance.
He's not helping anyone out. I mean, they'll be sellers He's not selling off any piece that he thinks is going to help anybody.
Let's take one more break, and then we a couple more quick things to go through. Herbert or Burrow, really quickly. Burrow's over 2,000 yards already. It's 9 TDs, 5 picks. Remember, I think House bet it. I decided not to bet it because I was afraid of the COVID with the overs, but his touchdown over-under was 21.5, I think.
Yeah, right. What is he
he's
at
gonna
now?
Beat that. He's at 9. He'll get to 30 unless he gets hurt.
You just had to pick the right rookie because only one out of the 4 rookie quarterbacks last year went over their touchdown total, and it's usually under, but yeah.
But this might be like a special class. Herbert's at 1542 yards, 12 TDs, 3 picks.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, I've been making the case.
What a draft.
I've been making the case that you don't have to pay your quarterback $40 million. Like every draft, there's 3 or 4 guys. You got to figure out who they are, but they're out there. And most starting quarterbacks in the league are good. We've not seen this many good starting quarterbacks. Now, the problem is you're going to get Andy Dalton. You're going to get Case Keenum is going to show up. You're going to see the backup. So they're not 50 good quarterbacks, but there's 30, 32, 34.
Jameis. What did you learn from Steelers Titans? Because that was the most important game today from a playoff standpoint.
I think the Steelers are the most balanced team. I really are. You got
that was
a guy
my
like,
takeaway as well.
Right? Like Chase Claypool, a guy who scores 4 touchdowns a couple weeks ago. Like, okay, we'll probably need him. Most teams would need that guy to produce. Like, no, he did nothing this week. Right? Devin Bush, the linchpin of that defense out, like play caller, everything. I don't want to say he did nothing, but you know, first 3 quarters of that game, the Titans weren't moving the ball at all. Steelers were great. And Ben was 13 of 18 on third down. Like that to me is a team that's long for the playoffs and long for January. Now they might lose to Baltimore this week, but they're very good on both sides of the ball. They're enjoyable to watch. Titans not bad either to claw back in there, though, I'll say. It was really good showing for both teams, I think. Titans.
There was a moment in that game where if the Titans had rolled over, I don't think either of us would have been surprised, right? Because they're a team that doesn't necessarily want to be behind by 20.
Mm-hmm.
They like to have a lead, a little like the playoffs last year. But then Brown, huge play, swung the momentum a little. They had another big drive. And then all of a sudden, it actually felt like they were going to win it.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Roethlisberger threw 3 interceptions, and it was still like a powerful Steelers win.
So my fear with the Steelers, I think their running game is pretty pedestrian. Connor's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like them being up 10 in the fourth quarter, putting a game away, I don't really trust their running game. And I don't 100% trust Ben anymore.
Really?
I think he's a little sloppy. I thought that pick that he threw, they were putting the game away at that point. That was a chance
he shouldn't have taken.
He threw in double coverage. It was a bad play. And he had a couple of those today, but I think he's at the stage of his career. I still think he's really good, but he...
You know what they do? They do.
There's
they
3 plays a game. He kind of fucks up.
And we hear about that. I'm not making this up. We've heard this all. There's a huge difference between 3rd and 3 and 3rd and 7. They seem to get to the 3rd and 3s and then just something little to Juju Smith-Schuster, and he figures something out with his feet and he lunges for the first down. They do that so well. They really do. That's the kind of thing. As bad as Ben was with 3 picks, he kept the drives moving.
Pittsburgh, Tennessee, KC. How do you rank those 3? Oh, and Baltimore. Let's go those 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, I'm going to look stupid, right, when the Ravens win this week, but I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh would beat Kansas City, and then Baltimore 3rd, and then Tennessee 4th. Are we missing anyone? That has to be the 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
I that's I have what Pittsburgh... I have Pittsburgh 1 as well.
Mm-hmm.
KC 2A, Baltimore 2B, Tennessee 4.
Well, KC beat Baltimore pretty handily. That's the only reason I do.
I know. It was early in the year.
I got you.
But yeah, so we both agree Pittsburgh's in pole position right now.
Yeah. Fun team.
Washed watch. Brady, I'm removing him. He was throwing dimes today. It's can't put him in there anymore.
It's so funny. You let a text that wasn't supposed to go to me bleed to another chain, and you're like, Brady's throwing the ball well. Like, oh, look at that. Yeah. You were finally praising him. Like, oops, that wasn't meant for you guys.
Rivers was on a bye this week.
Yeah.
Breeze,
he's not on his last legs, but you know, when Michael Thomas isn't out there, he looks a little more ordinary.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger has his moments. I'm going to put Belichick on here. Watch Bill Belichick.
Wow. No kidding. You could do that?
Nah, he's like 70. His two kids on the coaching staff. Maybe he felt like he already had his victory lap.
Is there room for Mike McCarthy? No, there's no room for Mike McCarthy. No matter what, there's no room for Mike McCarthy.
Wow. But
is there room? If everyone moved over like a lot, could they make room for Mike McCarthy?
Gosh. Who could you have hired?
Well, we could have interviewed Matt Rhule. We could have, you know.
Oh, I like Matt Rhule.
We could have, you know, those guys are all out there. I don't know. I go back and forth. Like, you know, he can't be that bad a coach. He went to the Super Bowl. He got, you know, I know he couldn't take Aaron Rodgers back to the Super Bowl, but Don Shula couldn't take Marino to the Super Bowl, and he's one of the greatest ever. So I don't know what happened. It's just the whole thing exploded.
You literally don't have an offensive line.
No.
Cross-offs. So we've already crossed off the Jets, Jaguars, and Bengals, right?
Just do it. Just cut me, Mick. Cut me.
No, you're a half game out. We're not.
I don't care. Cut me.
Falcons or Texans? I have the Falcons.
Yeah, well,
I think it's unrecoverable.
Because the Bucs are going to pull away now, right? Yeah.
Well, and also the NFC is deep. Like in that weird 5-10 range. So they'd have to vault too many teams. So I think we cross off the Falcons.
If they beat Carolina, they play Carolina Thursday night. You sure you want to?
Yes.
Okay. All right. They're not making the playoffs. I'm fine crossing them off. They're not cut me losses. Mick. Yeah.
Speaking of cut me, Mick, tomorrow night on the Rewatchables, Rocky IV.
Ho!
You, me, Kyle Brandt, we taped it on Friday. It was an immense amount of fun.
What a fun time, right?
100 minutes. What a movie. What a movie. I'm so glad we did it. So
and the marathon was on yesterday. I ended up watching 2.5 more Rockies yesterday with the kids.
Oh, man.
So good.
Never gets old. All right. We're going to do Guess the Lines. We're going to take a break. Before we do Guess the Lines, got to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. Same game parlays. So many different combinations you can play with these parlays. Player props, point totals, money lines. The best part, FanDuel will refund the first same game parlay you lose on any NFL game each week. Up to $10. That means you can bet a different parlay risk-free. Monday night, Bears at Rams. I think the Bears have a real chance to win this game. I think they're going to cover, but I really do think they have a chance to win. You can bet on the Bears money line, which is +205 with Jimmy Graham to score the first TD, +350. Now you're at +825 if that hits. $100 bet to win $825. I'd recommend that one. I should mention FanDuel, the only sportsbook app where you can play these same game parlays. So if you don't already have an account, listen up. Sign up with promo code BS so they know I sent you. And if you already have an account, you're good to go. Same game parlays, risk-free, all NFL season long, only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Don't forget to use promo code BS when you sign up. Must be 21 plus, present in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, Iowa. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Terms apply. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. That's what you call. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois. Or visit 1800GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. I looked at my power poll after week 7 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Top two teams, New England 7-0, New Orleans 6-1.
Hmm.
Cowboys were 12th at 4-3. It was only a year ago.
12th. Wow.
Guess the Lines. Week 8. What's the record? Or what's it?
Wait, I want to think about this. You had New England and New Orleans, and New Orleans made the conference championship. And what the hell was the Super Bowl last year?
It was San Francisco. So I had San Francisco 3, Green Bay 4, Kansas City 5.
5, okay. What was Kansas City's record? 3-5
ended up making it. They were 5-2 at that point.
And Mahomes hadn't gotten hurt yet, right? It was right around there. Yeah.
I had Indianapolis as the sleeper at 4-2.
Yeah.
And then Brissett got hurt and that fell
asleep. Yeah. All right. Thursday night.
Thursday night, Carolina is home after a battle against the Saints. This is going to sound corny. I really am happy for Teddy Bridgewater. I always think that like twice a game. Don't you think that? Like that injury he had, there's just no way he should be playing football again.
Right.
And he was really good today, I thought. And he's been good in general, and that was a good signing. And I always feel happy for
I did too. They were the good best losers today, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that for people who didn't see it, Joey Sly tried a 65 yarder.
Just missed.
Yeah, that's as close as you can miss without hitting the upright.
Yep. So straight on. Yeah.
The angle they were showing, it seemed like it was good. And then when they did the not good, it was like, what?
I thought it was crazy, but then I'm like, no fans in a dome. This guy's got a leg. Yeah, let him try it. And it would have been the record.
So we got Panthers Falcons Thursday night. I'm going with the Panthers by 4.5.
All right. You edged me out here. I said 5. Why is this 3? See, this is what I mean. God bless it. We can cross them off. They're not making the playoffs, but someone know anything about this game? Someone knows something.
I think the Falcons get weird respect from gamblers, and Vegas just takes advantage of it every week.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like, they were favored by 2 over Detroit today, although I guess they should have won. But
Right. Yeah, they do get respect.
Sunday's marquee game is a really good one. It's interesting. We were just talking about that top 4 AFC. Baltimore at home for the Steelers. Baltimore coming off a bye week. Steelers coming off a really nice win against Tennessee. And I think this is a classic Ravens by 3.
I said 3 also. It's 5.5. So maybe we're wrong about our power ratings. At least Vegas thinks we are.
No. I think we have the right rating. I think this should be a 3-point game. Yeah.
Okay. I think
Baltimore
is
a smidge overrated, personally.
You do? Well, they beat up the bad teams.
At this point of the season.
They beat the bad teams up. Yeah, for sure. I would love to see this on Sunday night instead of my crap-ass Cowboys and Eagles. That's such a bad Sunday night game. Just move Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Why can't they flex that?
Can they do? I think they would have to find COVID or something. Could Jerry Jones beg out of the primetime game? It doesn't seem like he would do that, but let's find some COVID that doesn't exist.
They should ask like one of the special teams players to just fake some COVID systems so they could move the game. Yeah, that's tough. That's a brutal
traveling secretary has it. It's really bad.
Wow, Ravens by 5.5. Okay, watchables. I don't know whether the league is just more entertaining right now or if I was just in a good mood, but I have 6 games in the watchables.
Yeah, that's a good one.
First one, Titans at Cincinnati.
Have to watch it.
I really enjoy watching Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Not going to apologize. I'm excited to see what they do in this game. I think I don't love their chances of stopping the Titans offense, but I don't really like Tennessee's defense at all. I think Cincinnati can throw on them. This is going to be a fun game. I have Titans by 5.
Yeah, I went too heavy. I don't know why. I thought, the Titans were like an underdog and then they were favored against Pittsburgh. You talk about Vegas doesn't care about the Titans, undefeated team last year. I thought it was 7. It's only 4. So you win that. That seems low a little bit. The Browns were what? 3.5? That's the same team?
I think with the Titans, the garbage time TD is just such a threat with them.
Oh, yeah.
They really can't stop anybody. Next game, which I think... I'm going to take this out. I'm going with 5 instead of 6. I'll tell you what game I took out when we get to it.
All right. Don't forget about it, though. People get mad.
I'm copy-pasting. All right, it's in there. Next one, Colts-Lions.
That's in there?
It's in there because the Lions have a habit of being in really watchable games.
I guess at some
point, we just have to accept that when the Lions are on a TV, it's watchable. The Colts, I think, have also proven to be super watchable. And the reason I included it in the watchables, the odds of this coming down to the last 2 minutes and some sort of terrible play by somebody is, I would say, 90%.
Yeah, you're right.
So I have Colts by 2.5 over the Lions.
So why? I'm an idiot. And also, I should be better at this because I do this for a living. I had the Lions favored by 1.5, but you're right. The Colts are favored by 3. You get that.
Okay.
I don't know. They're 3-3, right, Detroit? Lions are 4-2. Indy's 4-2 coming off a bye. I don't know. Talk about a team that gets no respect.
Well, Detroit's 3-3, but they lost that last second Bears game that they were up by 17 in the fourth quarter. So they have good bad team potential. They can move the ball. I got to say.
Yeah, like DeAndre Swift is good. It's like they have emerging players now, it seems like. And Galladay was hurt for a while, and now he's playing. I don't know. I like their offense better than most do.
Next one I'm genuinely excited for. Rams Dolphins. Tua. He's back. Dolphins, they've had some success against the NFC West. I have the Rams by 3.
Yeah, that's what I said. It is 3.5 currently.
Tua.
That's a good one. That's a fun one. We have to watch that. And I don't know. Rams going east on a short week. Maybe we take a stab with Miami here. Or is it too much to ask in the first game?
This is a high ceiling, low basement game for Tua. Yeah. I could see any scenario. You'd be like, all right, that makes sense.
Right.
Next one for the watchables, Bears Saints. Just because of the records.
Yep.
Bears are 5-1, Saints are 4-2. It'll be a good game. I have the Bears by 3. It's in Chicago.
Oh. I had Saints by 2, and it's Saints by 2.5. Yeah, nobody trusts the Bears.
It seems like the Saints get an extra 3 points every week for reasons that remain unclear. It happened again with the Panthers today. I thought that line should have been 3.5. It was 7.
Right.
It's like a past performance thing with the Saints. That game should be a pick 'em at best.
I told you, the Bears, well, they both beat the Panthers in the last 2 weeks, right? Bears beat them. They beat them by 9, or they beat them by a touchdown last week, and then the Saints beat them. That should be a good game. That'll come down to the wire, too.
Bears defense is legit.
For sure.
Last one, another good one, Seahawks 49ers.
Yep.
We've said 6 games that are way better than Eagles Cowboys, just for the record.
Yeah, I know. Move it. Move it the hell out.
Seahawks 49ers, it's in Seattle, and I have Seattle by 3. What a roller coaster ride for the Niners, by the way. Everybody wrote them off 2 weeks ago now. 3 might even be too high. What do you have?
I said 4.5. It is 4 right now. So I get that one. It might be now based on, I guess, like at halftime. Now I'm thinking about this. I don't know. Although they seem to have their run game, and that got Wilson's out, right? Wilson the third, he had a great game, but I think
Wilson was excellent and got hurt right as they were scoring like the most meaningless touchdown possible, which is a bummer. But I'll tell you, I've watched them a couple times now. The rookie Ayuk is good.
Brandon
that
Ayuk.
Guy makes plays. He's yet another guy who's better than N'Keal Harry. But he's good, and Debo's good, and Kittle. They have 3 receivers who can make plays. So Shanahan it seems like he's going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And when Jimmy throws, it's almost always play action or design rollouts, or everything he does is to protect Jimmy, try to throw these shorter passes where the receivers can run after the catch. And it's smart.
Right.
He's taking advantage of all of whatever strengths Jimmy has. And we don't know how healthy he is either, but he's got playmakers though.
Yeah, for sure. We listed like 4 games that be very surprised if they were more than a touchdown difference with 6 minutes left in the fourth. Seattle just can't stop anybody. So San Francisco's offense is going to look good. Or maybe they're exhausted. You think they'll still be exhausted?
Probably.
God.
The barely watchables. This was the game I pulled out that I
had.
Wait,
was
there.
It? Hold on. Let me guess. Vegas, Cleveland.
Yeah.
That was it?
Yeah, that's what it is. The Raiders kind of played themselves off the list because they stunk in the Tampa game.
They really did.
Although Gruden was pretty mad after that they made them play on a Sunday when his whole offensive line was being COVID tested or whatever. Like, he's like, we could have moved this to Monday or Tuesday so I could add an extra day.
I guess it could have been worse. If you hear a whole offensive line is out or tested or like, oh, wow, the other team's going to score 62 points. Like, this is what we worried about in preseason. This is exactly what we said. Like, what if an entire unit can't play because they've been around each other? But
same thing happened with the Bills tight ends.
Yeah.
I have the Browns favored by 3 over the Raiders.
Yeah, you get it exactly. I thought it'd be 4. I thought it'd be a little heavier, but it is 3.
Hunt was good in that game today.
Baker's fun to watch. Carr's always fun to watch. There's like 10 good players and whenever they cut to Gruden upset, it's good time. It's a fun game.
I mean, Baker did start that game 0 for 5, and it looked like one more bad drive, he was getting the hook.
Yeah, like I haven't seen such good numbers after such a bad first quarter. He was 0 for 5 with a pick. Is that what his first quarter was?
Peter Schrager texted me and said, Baker got better as soon as Odell left the game. I was like, that's interesting. I wonder if he sees Odell psych him out.
He
feels like he can't make Odell happy.
Did he throw that pick on purpose? Because Odell got hurt chasing down the D-back who intercepted the pass. Maybe Baker left him out there.
Threw it so Odell would get hurt on the tackle.
Oh, man. Oh, yes. He's perfect. Yeah.
Barely watchables. Bills, Pats. This is in Buffalo. And
how is this barely watchable? It was supposed to be for first place.
I mean, are you going to enjoy watching this?
No, you're right. How did it get to it? We're only week 8.
Oh, well, how did it get to this? I have the Bills by 6.
I said 6.5, but it's only 4.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Now, this will be when Belichick pulls out his wizardry, right? Figures something out.
The only thing that makes me think the Pats aren't dead yet is if he knew the Niners were just the worst possible matchup and he knows Cam's not healthy.
Right.
And he just played a vanilla this week because he knows they have to win the Buffalo game.
Right.
And next week's the kitchen sink game. And he knew they were kind of drawn dead this week against the Niners. That's the only thing I have that I'm praying for. I don't want the Pats season to die.
What do you think the Bills number is to win the division?
I kind of like the Dolphins.
I didn't even see what they were. I can find it.
I would say the Bills are like probably minus 200, right?
Minus 400. Already.
I think Dolphins.
Your Pats are plus 350. I didn't even look at the Dolphins. I guess they're.
Dolphins are 3-3, and Tua might actually be good.
All right. Hold on. Wait. Let me see. AFC East. It's plus 650. Oh, you're hitting that.
Hit that one.
Yeah.
That's a little tasty.
Especially if they win this week. They beat the Rams.
Can we bring Kyle? Nephew Kyle, can you come in for 1 second?
Hey.
How old are you?
26.
Can you ever remember the Patriots getting 6 points in Buffalo?
No.
No, they're not getting 6. They're getting 4.
They're getting 4.
You guessed 6. Yeah.
Can you ever remember the Patriots getting more than a field goal in Buffalo in your lifetime?
Absolutely not. I didn't ever go in there thinking we weren't going to roll them. So I don't know.
I mean, Brady owned Buffalo. I think he might have lost to them 4 times total in 20 years.
Kyle, can you ever remember the Patriots plus 350 to win the division?
Oh, come on.
There's no way. There's no way, though, right? What was their worst? I guess when Brady was out that year. But even then.
Tough times for Kyle. Kyle, you all right? The Cam thing was really bad today.
I was really sad today, man. Really, really sad. I haven't been this sad in a long time.
Sal didn't seem to understand how bad Cam was. I think he thought I was exaggerating it. I mean, Cam was really that bad.
You know what it is? I think it's his motion because he throws back. Remember when we used to play electric football? It was the worst game ever invented. And the guys would buzz around and in no certain pattern that you wanted them to go, even though you could kind of change it on the back. And it was supposed to. You had to whip the guy's arm back to throw that little sponge ball, that tiny ball.
Right.
And that's what Cam looks like. And I feel like he's rearing back even more now lately to do it. And that's why I think everyone's like, oh, his shoulder. Even when he wasn't with the Patriots, we used to say that about him. Like, something's up with this guy. What's his shoulders bummed out?
It didn't look totally right. The Seattle game, he just looked flawless. Like, his mechanics look great. He seemed like Superman again. Did not seem like Superman today.
Yeah.
We'll finish the games and take one more break. Let's take a break to talk about Miller Lite. Not that long ago, going out with friends was a little too complicated. You used to worry about where you'd go, what you'd look like, who you'd invite. Now, not as complicated. These days, it actually feels more like it should. Just be yourself with your friends. It's the way it should always be. And as the original light bearer, Miller Lite has always believed in this. That's what Miller Time is about. I've been having Miller Time since I was in college. You've heard this a million times. Miller Lite. My favorite beer going back, I don't know, 30 years, whether you're toasting in person or you're cheersing from afar, Miller Lite has always been about bringing you and your friends together for Miller time. Here's the thing with Miller. You put Miller Lights in your fridge and people come over, it's going to be one of the ones they grab. I'm just telling you, it happens. Miller Lite, great taste, only 96 calories, 3.2 carbs,
However you and your friends are enjoying Miller time, you can always have the original light beer delivered by going to MillerLite.com/BS. Find the delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All right, two more barely watchables. Packers are home for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
You could make a case the Packers are the good, bad team. I have the Packers favored by 7.5. They're dying to be teased.
I'm all in on this team. I said 9. You're right. It's 7. So you're closer. You're going to win the week.
Oh, they're begging.
You're going to be 7-0-1. The fuck? What is going on this year? Yeah, they're begging. Again, there's a perfect teaser team coming up to put them with. So we don't even have to think about it.
I didn't even do a teaser this week.
You didn't?
I think those minus six, those plus six, plus seven, plus eight range, those dogs mm-hmm. seem to be hitting at least like 2 a weekend now, right?
Yeah. Well, they fixed the over-unders. A lot of the unders are hitting now. And they fixed, yeah, you're right. The road teams are doing very well. I don't have the numbers. I should have the numbers in front of me. But yeah, I didn't do a teaser either. And I had the freaking Saints minus 6.5. And what do? Of course, they just went by a field goal. So I'm back to right. teasers.
Gotta well, go and then there. The Chargers covered a tease.
Right.
The mm-hmm. There was one other one in that range that covered as well.
In the 6-point range? Well, the Bills didn't cover, but they won. Yeah.
Bills covered a 3-team tease.
Yep.
And then the Bucks, once that line got to like 4.5, you could tease them.
Yeah.
Last one, Chargers at Denver, which if Drew Lock was like about 20% better, you could say this could be a watchable, but he's like not quite there, but Herbert's there. Yeah. I have the Chargers by 2 in Denver.
All right. I get this one. I said 1.5. It is only 1. And yeah, Drew Lock is weird because he rolls right and then he almost immediately runs out of room. He runs out of space to throw, right? It's like you don't have any guy open here. There's no way. You just sprinted to the sideline. You're stuck. Just throw it out of bounds. But yeah, he should be a little better. They play hard, that team.
Yeah, he loves taking big hits too for no mm-hmm. reason. You see, if you can pop him and send him flying backwards, he likes it. I think Anthony Lynn has done enough this year that he probably knocked this line down by 2 points.
You think so?
Yeah, he makes me nervous. And I didn't even have the Chargers in a tease or anything today, but I just like Herbert.
Right.
And at one point, Jacksonville was up. They were up like 22-16. Yeah, and I was oh my God, they're going to lose to this garbage Jacksonville team?
Right. I mean, think about that Mahomes for a second. Oh, we're about to talk about him, I think. But for him to go, they had a pick six and a punt return for a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
He had like 200 yards. They had nothing rushing. It was the least the Chiefs ever had to do to win a game.
Yeah.
But anyway, until this week.
Our next category is COVID Corner. I don't think anybody's in here this week. We do have the poopfecta, though.
Yeah. This is Chiefs a great Jets. One.
So I've tried to avoid this as much as I could because I know I'm sure there were stories and I honestly don't know what the line is.
All right.
I do think it's going to be higher than 21.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's happened. I remember like something got near 20. We've done this before.
It's like
I don't
San Francisco, Cincinnati, Steve Young years was like 19, 19 and a half. It was a Sunday night game, I think even. But go ahead.
I picked 22. Chiefs by 22 at home against the Jets.
So I heard last week that it was 22. I'll be honest. I did. And then I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I think that's a little crazy. Not that it matters, but I said 21. It's 20 and a half.
20 and a half. That still feels high.
Well,
I mean, it's not high enough.
Well, what if it's a 3-team teaser now? Because that's a freebie. They're winning by 2 touchdowns, right? So if you go minus 10 and a half, you go Packers plus 3. And then we're going to talk about the Sunday night game, which is a gimme of all gimmies, but we're not
would you
yet.
Tease the Jets to 30 and a half or no? Just to say you're getting 30 and a half with an NFL team? Three-teamer?
Jesus. I may have to do it just for fun, but they could score 7, couldn't they?
All they have to do is score 10 points and you're covered.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
20 and a half, huh?
I don't know. I was looking. Chad Henne scrambled for a touchdown for the Chiefs today. I don't even know like if they take Mahomes out, like they might still be okay.
I really thought I was going to be low. I thought you were going to say it was like 24.
Really?
Who's taking the Jets in this game?
No one. You can't. At least they covered, though, right? They were 0-6. They covered. And my team, who we're going to talk about, is a full 0-7 ATS.
Well, you know who else covered? Joey Covers.
Oh, right.
Kept the streak alive. He pushed in week one. He's covered every week since. He still has not covered a game.
Yeah, he's like, oh, the Browns scored to win. I don't care. We're inside the number. We're good.
He should get rid of the W so he seems more Italian. Oh. Like he's Joe Burrow. He's just B-U-R-R-O.
Right. But that's
he's
a donkey, right?
Italian quarterback who covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunday night, Eagles, Cowboys. It's in Philly. It's just a train wreck of a game. I think they should allow Collinsworth and Al to drink during the game. I'm not saying they have to get sloshed, but Al should at least be able to have like two drinks.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I think the players should be allowed to drink too.
The coaches should definitely drink. I have the Eagles by 4.
What? Are you crazy? I'm winning the week. I'm giving myself a win for the week, even though you beat me by 5 here. I had the Cowboys underdog by 8. It's 7.5. You can't give this team any less than it should probably be 10. They don't score. All they do is get scored on.
Can I defend myself here?
It's a 10-day rest for Philly. Yeah. Well, how is this going to be close?
Did you see the Eagles on Thursday night? They stink. What are you talking about?
I did.
They almost lost to the Giants. Wentz had to pull like one of the great throws he's ever made out of his ass just to win the game. They should have lost anyway. Yeah, the fucking Giants quarterback fell down on an 80-yard run.
I did see that.
The Giants outplayed them in that game. The Eagles blow.
No, they didn't outplay them. The Eagles had time of possession. They were killing them in the first half.
No, the Giants were moving the ball on them.
They ran on them in the second half for sure. But
come on.
Oh, they're not going to have to do much to win this game. Whatever. Maybe it's. How are they going
to
score?
You listen to me. You're not allowed to put the Eagles in a tease.
Oh,
neither
you're
is House.
Out of your mind.
No, you're not allowed to tease them right now.
I'm going to listen. How can you wire me?
Wentz cannot be in a tease. Wentz and Phil Rivers are not allowed to be
teased.
You're
crazy. They're taking the division this week. That's it.
I think the Redskins. Oh, they're not the Redskins anymore. Don't bleep that, Kyle. It's an honest mistake. I'm a human being. I bleed. I go to the bathroom. Humans make mistakes.
You know
the Washington pro football team, I think, could win the division.
Strahan said it the other day. I was with them on Thursday night. I was like, ooh. And he's like, eh, what are you going to do? Yeah. They let it go.
I think they could win it, though. They at least are good at something. They have a good defensive line.
Gibson is good.
McLaurin's good.
Kyle Allen can't win this division. I know what you're saying. It's the slimmest of pickings for sure. But
I think Wentz is the worst kind of quarterback to have. Like for me, emotionally and spiritually,
really
would be the least kind of the one I wouldn't be able to handle because the highs and lows just during the game, I wouldn't be able to take it. I had them in a parlay on Thursday night. I couldn't take it just betting vicariously on them for 3 hours where it's like, is this guy, first of all, he never gets rid of the ball ever.
Never?
He's just never. He's just like, I'll stand here for 20 seconds waiting for
a long time.
Receiver. I don't care how many people are about to hit me. I'm holding them, never throwing this away. And, you know, he makes 10 dumb decisions a game. And then all of a sudden he'll put together like 5 minutes of like perfect quarterback play. And you're like, what just happened?
You
were complete dog shit for half the game. Mm-hmm. How did you do that?
He's
bizarre.
And if you look at his numbers, they're spectacular. I look back because I'm looking, I'm like, all right, I need a pro Wentz graphic for a Fox Bet Live. And I'm like, oh my God, his numbers are excellent. If you look over the last couple of years and even like when he gets going, I don't know. I'm telling you right now, the Eagles are minus 150 to win the division. That's a winner. Tampa Bay is minus 150 to win the division. That's a winner. And Green Bay is minus 275. I'm forcing us to check in on these division odds every now and then.
I can't remember anything you've lost more money on over the years than division bets, division futures. I honestly, if you told me like, hey, I found this sheet that kept track of every division bet I made, you're not going to believe this, but I lost 85% of them.
During the year, you think? Preseason, I think. I don't know.
The Pats are like the only one we ever won consistently.
I know.
Yeah. All
right. We teased it with Hillary, right? Can we do that? We parlayed it with Hillary.
I think that Eagles line is too high. Monday night, Bucks Giants.
Mm-hmm.
It's in New York. Unfortunately, they're playing the Bucks. I have the Bucks by 9.5.
All right. So you would have won it. You win 9-6, I think. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 9-7. That sucks. It's 10. I said 8.5. All right. Well, if you could wait till Monday, that's a good third leg of a teaser. I mean, honestly, Tampa Bay to just beat the Giants. KC to beat the Jets by 10. And then add Philly. Please, just do it.
If I go undefeated and guess the Lions, the last week when we're guessing, should I have Don Shula's son and Mercury Morris here to pour champagne on me? Or what do I do?
Yeah, you should. You should. It wouldn't be, though. It'd be like a...
Shula family?
Be the caramel latte. We're all doing shots. Damn it. How am I so bad at this?
I don't 7-0 know. 7-0-1. It's not like you'd do it for a living. Oh, wait. Our bye week teams, by the way, are the Cardinals, Washington, the Jaguars, and the Texans.
Yeah, not a ton of fantasy implications. Yeah.
I got to say, I'm only going to miss the Cardinals out of those four, right? The three of those are pretty nice.
Yeah, they put all the unwatchables on the bye.
I was thinking about the Texans, how bummed out I would be if I was a Texans fan about the Hopkins trade.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the guy gets fired 4 weeks into the season who makes it. Like, how do you recover from that?
Right.
You had Hopkins. This dumbass trades him. He's like, no, this will be great. You'll love David Johnson. Plus, we got a second round pick.
Right.
And now Hopkins and Kyler Murray, you're going to have to watch them all season. They're probably a playoff team.
Yeah, and you're wasting Deshaun Watson's best years, right? Like, this team's not going to recover for a while.
Tough one. All right. It's time for Parent Corner, brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Whether you're buying or selling, our friends at CarMax are on your side. With the 7-day money back guarantee at CarMax, you've got a full week to decide if it's the right car for you, or simply return it for a full refund, no questions asked. And if it's time to sell, stop by CarMax today to get a custom offer on your car. You can leave with payment in hand or take a week to think it over. It's car buying, car selling, the way it should be at CarMax. Check them out today at CarMax.com. All right, Sal, you're up.
All right. Well, Friday night, we went out with friends outdoor. Yeah, social distancing. I think we have like a date on the book too, Simmons, a double date somewhere down the line.
Can't wait.
This week, it's going to be fun. Lovely couple, but I couldn't wait to get home and watch Borat. Did you watch it Friday night?
I watched it Thursday night with my kids.
Thursday night?
Yeah. It was out at like 9 o'clock Pacific time.
Oh,
yeah.
They did. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. I should have done it Thursday instead of watching Giants Eagles. So we get home and I know my 15-year-old is going to want to watch it. It's about getting the other two to sleep. You know, the 12-year-old, I feel a little weird. Definitely the 6-year-old shouldn't watch it. But everyone's on board. Everyone feels our excitement to watch it. So they're going to watch it, except the 12-year-old is furious that we're allowing the 6-year-old to watch it and is screaming at us about how we're bad parents and we shouldn't let him watch. And I was like, listen, it's 10:15. He's just going to fall asleep. Let's just pretend to watch. He'll fall asleep 3 minutes in. It'll still be the Kazakhstan stuff. He won't even get out of there. It'll be fine. It's like, no way. So now this makes the 6-year-old want to watch even more. So I played this wrong. I completely played it wrong. And now he's up. And now for
you've challenged him.
Yeah, I issued the wrong challenges to the wrong people. And here I am stuck watching this movie. And the whole time, the 12-year-old is jumping in front of the screen so that the 6-year-old can't watch it because they hate each other. And they're screaming at each other the whole time. And I think it was a good movie, but I have to now rewatch it because there was like so much dancing around the screen so that the younger kid couldn't watch that. I'm not sure what I saw, but I thought it was really good. I thought it was good. Not as good as the first, right? But the ending.
Not as good as the first, but super enjoyable.
If you laugh like 15 times, it's a great movie, right?
So the 12-year-old and the 6-year-old, it's really, there's that much animosity.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something clicked with the 12-year-old. He's like, no, I'm not letting this happen. My parents are screwballs and they're, that maybe they'll let it happen, but I'm not doing it. Put his body in front of it, literally.
I've got my kids to watch Borat 2 weeks ago. I'd been deliberately holding it.
Yeah.
And my son is in that too cool for school you know, he's going to default to being like, this probably isn't as good as dad. But then within 10 minutes was all in. Mm-hmm. And then spent the next 2 weeks walking around the house going, you would never get this, doing all the lines. And we did the same thing with the Borat too. We're all fired up. It wasn't as good, but I thought it was a noble effort.
Yeah, right. For sure. But my
it was
oldest,
good to have him back.
My oldest was loving it, and he laughed throughout the whole thing. But at the end, his conclusion was, oh, we're kind of screwed as a society, aren't we? I was like, yeah, don't pay attention to that. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, harmless people are racist. It goes on all over the country, but it's going to be fine. The Jews and the nose. Oh, my God. Jesus, we really are in trouble.
I know.
I didn't want
to
lie to
be like, no, Sacha Baron Cohen is Jewish in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why
he's making fun of it. rough.
My son now is mad because every week he's the parent corner.
Oh, he hears about it. I didn't even know.
Well, he claims he doesn't listen to it, but other people mention it to him.
Yeah, that's tough.
And so now his whole thing, when we get mad at each other, he's like, you just use me for content. He says that all seriously. Like that's the reason we have him around. Not because we, you know,
right.
had him as a child. So he's like, why don't you come up with one for Zoe? And
it's a good point.
I don't know. She's just a nice kid. So the best thing I could come up with is she's like this super honest, you know, respectful kid, like just a nice kid.
Sure.
Doesn't lie. You always can tell when she's lying, at least we think. But she steals clothes from me and Carrie.
From so you? Sweatshirts from you?
Steals t-shirts and sweatshirts from me and then just goes in the Carrie and always like emerges with these things. So Ben, in an effort to claim that that he shouldn't be always being the parent, like, why don't you talk about how Zoe steals clothes from you guys? And that did that whole thing.
That's
all I got.
That's
she's 5% of the character of him. He didn't have a shirt on all weekend. He didn't wear a shirt for 48 hours or shoes.
Yeah. Well, he's being thoughtful and not stealing your clothes. He could have a shirt if he wanted. He can just go right in your drawer. What does it mean she steals them? Like you'll see him in the wash or something, right? Or
she'll just be wearing them.
Yeah.
Be like, wait, that's my Holy Cross basketball t-shirt. Why are you wearing that?
Right.
I was looking for that. I was going to wear that when I work out today. So that's her one vice. He's got 750,000 vices.
Yeah.
His foot's healed, so he's now active again. So if you want to put odds on FanDuel Sportsbook on his next injury.
Oh, good.
Maybe they could do that. Yeah,
let's
he's
do that.
Dunking on the basketball hoop today. The trampoline's going to come back soon. It's going to be bad.
Hey, have you done the virtual fan thing for SmackDown or anything?
No, you did that, right?
We did it
that
Friday.
Last week?
It Friday. It's good. It's fine. We're like in fourth row center and, you know, they're like, someone comes on, you can't hear it in the telecast, but like, all right, big energy. Like, all right, okay. Like, we're going crazy in the box and you could barely see us. But I think Ben would like it.
Well, he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
He was like, no, do it. And then when it shows us, I'll stand up and I'll have my underwear on. I'm like, no, I'm definitely not. All right. That was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. It's car buying, car selling the way it should be at CarMax. Check them out today. CarMax.com. Sal?
Yeah.
You got the plug.
Extra Points on the Extra Points Podcast Network, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's me. It's Charlotte Wilder. It's Dave Damashek against all odds. You could tune in on Tuesday with the Degenerate Trifecta. I have Fox Bet Live. I won. I'm the king. I get a free futures bet, Simmons. Do I go Steelers to win the Super Bowl? If Baltimore, Kansas City, and Green Bay are taken already, who do you take to win the Super Bowl?
I like the Steelers.
Steelers. All right. That's what I'm doing. I'll check out.
That's
MVP
a nice one.
And then on Fox pregame show, I will be on Thursday night.
Oh, there I you saw go. your bit this week. You had the TikTok guy.
The TikTok guy, yeah, the dreams guy. I gave him the NFC East trophy. He's as deserving as anybody else. And then
what a comeback for Fleetwood Mac. They're like in their mid-70s now. What's going on?
Dreams royalties. It was like number 7 on Spotify or something, whatever, one of the top 10 or something.
I mean, it's a great song.
Yeah.
Real good. All right, Sal. Good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the pod. Thanks to Cousin Sal. Don't forget, you can hear me and Sal again 24 hours from now on the Rocky IV Rewatchables, going up midnight ET Monday night. And then we're back here two more times this week, and enjoy the rest of hopefully an awesome week.